It's Charlie James on 1250 WTMA.
Good morning. It is 6:12, 12 minutes past 6 o'clock on your Wednesday morning, the 11th day of January 2017. Going to be near 70 today. Partly cloudy skies. Tonight's low will be 51. Tomorrow, 73 for a high. Quite a change from earlier in this week and this past weekend where we were seeing wind chill temperatures down in the teens here in Charleston. So it's going to be a nice day, and it's going to be warming up just a little bit for you. The death penalty for Dylan Roof. It was announced yesterday that the jury reached a unanimous decision in the Dylan Roof trial to execute Dylan Roof. Now, the judge is going to actually impose that sentence on him today. This is actually a history-making event as far as federal hate crimes are concerned. Dylan Roof will become the first American to receive the death penalty in a federal trial involving hate crimes. The first one. Now, the federal government has sought execution in hate crime trials 7 times before. 5 of those resulted in guilty pleas. 2 of those received life sentences, according to the Federal Death Penalty Research Council Project's database. Also, they can't find another federal death penalty case in which the judge agreed in advance to let attorneys represent a defendant in one phase of the trial, but then the defendant act as their own attorney in another. Roof's defense team, of course, represented him during the guilt phase of his trial, but he acted as his own attorney for the penalty phase. They say this is quite unheard of. Never in modern times have both state and federal prosecutors sought someone's execution simultaneously. Never in modern times have both the state and the federal agency sought the death penalty at the same time. So, there you go. That's what we got right now with Dylan Roof. But they did come back yesterday with a death penalty sentence for him. We'll talk a little bit about the federal death penalty coming up and exactly how many people have been put to death by the federal government over the past... Well, we'll go back to 1927. We'll have those statistics for you coming up. Having birthdays today. Mary J. Bly is 46 years old today. Jason Connery is 54. He's Sean Connery's son. I wonder how many times growing up he said, you know, he'd go in and say, "Dad, no, I think you should call me Bond, James Bond." Naomi Judd is 71 years old today. Clarence Clemens was born on this day in 1942. Of course, he was the sax player for Bruce Springsteen's E Street Band. He passed away in 2011. Let's see, who else have... Frederick Dennis Green was born in 1949. You're asking who he was? Well, he was a vocalist with the group Sha-na-na. Remember that with Bowser? Here's another interesting fact about Sha-na-na. They played at Woodstock. Sha-na-na played at Woodstock. So you got Jimi Hendrix up there playing the national anthem on the guitar, you know, that iconic performance. And then you've got, you know, Bowser. Boom, ba 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 boom, ba ba bang, bang. Kind of a different performance there. Daryl Dawkins was born on this day in 1957. Would have been 59 years old today. Former center for the Philadelphia 76ers, who was known for shattering backboards with his dunks. Daryl Dawkins. We got 10 days left. 10 days left of hope and change. Basically, 9 days left. 18 days left in the year of the rooster, until the year of the rooster. Super Bowl 51 will be here in 26 days. Valentine's Day will be here in 35. And daylight savings time, well, we're 61 days away from that. It was on this day in 1777. I didn't know this. You didn't know this. The first shipment of rhubarb was sent to America. Rhubarb. I thought that was that we had that here. I thought that was a thing. But no, apparently we had that imported. I remember my grandma cooking rhubarb when I was younger. Stinking up the whole house. Let's see what else happened on this day. It was 1973. Owners of the American League voted to adopt the designated hitter rule on a trial basis. Of course, that trial is still going on. 1974, Love American Style and Room 222 last aired on ABC. It was on this day in 1977, the world was stunned to learn that Keith Richards had been convicted of cocaine possession and fined $1,300. $1,300. I think people are more stunned to find out that Keith Richards is still alive. 17 minutes past 6 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com.
Access Charlie James at 843-556-1250 or email charlie at WTMA.com. It's Charlie James and the TMA Morning Show.
The TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Good morning. It's 621, 21 minutes past 6 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com on this Wednesday morning. It seems like it ought to be like Thursday or Friday, doesn't it? It really does. I mean, this is hump day. But, man, it just seems like it should be a lot further along in the week than it is. Again, near 70 today, partly cloudy skies. Tomorrow or tonight is going to be a low of 51, which is a lot better than, 29. That's, you know, I'd say that's twice as good as 29. 73 for a high tomorrow. I'm going to be hearing a lot of stuff today about the Dylann Roof death penalty. Of course, the judge is going to be officially charging Dylann Roof this morning with imposing the death sentence on him this morning. So what about the federal death penalty? What about that? Since 1927, there have been 37 executions by the federal government here in the United States. And I know if you're wondering, of those 37, four were African-American, and 29 were white, because you were wondering. Also, in total, we have 63 people right now on federal death row. 63 people. So there's been 37 executions since 1927. We got 63 on death row right now. South Carolina has 3 people on death row. The state with the most number of inmates on death row is Texas. Missouri comes in second. Virginia is seventh. Georgia is at number 3. And most states, it looks like the states that have someone on death row, we're talking about Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, New York, Arizona, they have one person on death row. Even Connecticut has a person on death row. So it's not, and again, this is just one of those cases that was absolutely, I mean, it's history making, because this is the first person who has been sentenced to death on federal hate crimes in the United States. Congratulations, Dylann Roof, you're number one. And coming up in just a few minutes, we're going to give you his closing statements, which were absolutely horrible. How you can look at the jury and say, it was what I had to do, it's still what I feel like I had to do. No remorse whatsoever. In fact, the shoes that he wore during the trial, I don't know if he had them on yesterday. Apparently, they'd given a pen or something to write with, which I think was kind of crazy. And he drew racist symbols on his shoes. This guy's an unrepentant murderer. Unrepentant murderer. There's, you know, people say, well, there's good in everybody. I'm not buying that. No. But what did strike my mind about Dylann Roof, the kid seems to be really, really smart. He seems to be highly intelligent. His statements yesterday, while absolutely horrible, were well thought out. They were well presented. Again, the content of the speech, you know, was horrible. But I thought he was, I mean, he doesn't sound like a psychotic absolute nut. He doesn't sound like somebody who's got a lack of mental capability. The kid seems very intelligent. Unfortunately, it was all wasted. 25 minutes past 6 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com.
Brought to you by Serta. After a busy day, you look forward to the comfort of a good night's sleep. Serta created the iComfort Hybrid mattress to deliver comfort that cradles, supports, and cools. Redesigned from the inside out, the iComfort Hybrid intelligently responds to your individual needs. Immerse yourself in Serta iComfort Hybrid. It's comfort reimagined.
Charlie James and the TMA Morning Show.
He's testing you, yeah.
On 1250 WTMA.
But I'm... You can tell that... You can tell that I'm a lame duck because nobody's following instructions. Everybody have a seat.
What was he? Was he rapping there? You. All right, Obama giving his farewell speech last night. He did it in Chicago, basically where his political career started, at the home of Bill Ayers, a known terrorist, social justice warrior. We'll call them social justice terrorists. So he gave his final speech last night, rightfully so, in the city that has probably fared the absolute worst during the Obama administration. Oh, you don't believe me? Well, let's take a look at 2016. 3,665 people shot and wounded in 2016 alone. 714 homicides. Total shootings in Chicago, 4,379. Let's break that down so you can understand what's going on. One person in Chicago is shot every 2 hours and 1 minute. Every 2 hours and 1 minute, a person is shot. A person is murdered in Chicago every 11 hours and 3 minutes. For a total in 2016 of total homicides, 796. I really don't understand where your accomplishments are. I really don't. And he listed his accomplishments. Are you ready? This is going to take a minute, but just listen to it.
If I had told you 8 years ago that America would reverse a great recession, reboot our auto industry, and unleash the longest stretch of job creation in our history. If I had told you that we would open up a new chapter with the Cuban people, shut down Iran's nuclear weapons program without firing a shot, take out the mastermind of 9/11. If I had told you that we would win marriage equality and secure the right to health insurance for another 20 million of our fellow citizens, if I had told you all that, you might have said our sights were set a little too high. But that's what we did. That's what you did. You were the change. By almost every measure, America is a better, stronger place than it was when we started.
There you go. All right, so listing his accomplishments. We'll run down those accomplishments coming up in just a few minutes, because right now we've got more people on food stamps than ever before. The poverty rate is higher. I mean, it's not exactly the rosy picture that Obama painted yesterday in Chicago. We'll run that down for you. Also today, you're going to be hearing some stories about a report that was on BuzzFeed, and it talks about the Russians basically blackmailing Donald Trump. So we'll have that for you coming up next on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com.
This is the TMA Morning Show with Charlie James. Follow Charlie James on Twitter. Go to WTMA.com, keyword Charlie. Now, the TMA Morning Show continues with Charlie James.
And a very good morning to you. 843-556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. Jimmy Kimmel talked about Obama's farewell speech last night.
President Obama gave his farewell speech. It is the Obama speech that Republicans have been looking forward to. It would have been cooler if Obama just tossed a lit cigarette and walked away in slow motion as Air Force One exploded behind him, wouldn't it?
Yeah, there you go. So, well, basically, that's exactly what he did. He just did it instead of metaphorically, Jimmy Kimmel. He did it literally. So how do we look after 8 years of Obama? Well, national debt. Let me give you that last. Hold on, I'll give you that. But we'll tell you, Americans on food stamps. When Barack Obama took over, we had 28.22 million Americans on food stamps. Right now, we have close to 50 million Americans on food stamps. Close to 50. Our poverty rate is pretty much at an all-time high in a non-quote-unquote recession. But listen to the debt. This is where it really, really comes home. United States national debt, $19 trillion. Now listen to this. Listen to this. $19,956,000. Now let me tell you how fast it's going up. You ready? I gotta get this timing right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, I can't even keep up. Each one of those numbers that I said was $1,000 in debt that we are increasing. Federal tax revenue. Yeah, this is what the government is taking in. And I'll count this down in thousands of dollars. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 15, 15. I can't even keep up with that. U.S. federal tax revenue going up. Income tax revenue. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. All of those are thousands of dollars. We are getting more than $1,000 a second in tax revenue and U.S. federal tax revenue while our national debt continues to skyrocket. The U.S. deficit right now, $591,111,463,000, and that just went up by another 1,000. That's how we're doing. This he has increased the national debt greater than any president in our history. And I was listening to a guy talk yesterday. I said, well, you know, we had to spend all that money because of the, to get us out of the recession. Really? Really? We'll delve more into those numbers coming up. Here are your headlines in 60 seconds.
A verdict in the death penalty trial of self-avowed white supremacist Dylan Roof. Jurors sentenced the 22-year-old to death.
President Obama gives his farewell address.
The first of President-elect Trump's cabinet nominees to face a Senate hearing is frequently heard from protesters, some dressed in KKK garb. Senator Sessions strongly denies allegations of racism.
I abhor the Klan and what it represents.
Robert Kennedy Jr. confirming he's accepted an offer from the president-elect to chair a review of vaccine safety.
Americans searching their family history are about to get a boost from a new collaboration if their roots can be traced at some point to the Boston area. The New England Historic Genealogical Society and the Archdiocese of Boston announced the creation of an online database of hundreds of thousands of Roman Catholic Church documents.
The NASDAQ finished at another record high.
Monopoly fans get another chance to pick a new token.
Blizzard is bearing down on the Sierra Nevada mountains. North Carolina river towns faced a new round of flooding. Thousands have been evacuated.
All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 843-556-1250. We're hearing that Dylan Roof is going to be requesting a new trial in his trial for the murder of 9 people at Mother Emanuel AME Church. Now, the jury yesterday gave down a death penalty sentence to Dylan Roof. He is going to be officially given the death penalty sometime today by Judge Gergel, and he is asking for a new trial. We will find out if the judge grants this. Now, of course, he gets an appeal. But my thought is, why is he asking for a new trial when he did nothing during this trial to help himself? He did absolutely nothing. He did not give any testimony. There were no real witnesses called. His team at the time, because remember, he had legal representation during the guilt phase of the trial. So they called in some folks. They had several mental competency trials. He's trying to cover those up, make sure that's not leaked out to the public. But why would he want a new trial? And hopefully we'll get some answers from this, maybe from Juan Talley, who's going to be calling in just a few minutes. Why would he want a new trial if he didn't participate in this one? Does he have some kind of a plan to be more involved in the next trial, to call more witnesses in his defense? So I think that'd be a big waste of time. I really do, because I don't know of a jury in the world, all you've got to do is see the confession video and read the jailhouse journal that he wrote, where he says, I did what I did, and I felt like I had to do it, and I still feel like I had to do it. And he goes in and talks about, you know, all of these crazy white supremacist feelings out there. I don't know a jury that would come back with any different verdict. And then to hear the testimony from the people involved and from the coroner's report and all the testimony, I don't see how anything would be different. I don't see how anything would be different for Dylann Roof. But we'll talk with Attorney Juan Talley coming up about that. It's 6:59 at the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com.
It's Charlie James on 1250 WTMA.
It's 12 minutes past 7 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Let's go to the phones right now and talk with Attorney Juan Talley. She's been covering the Dylann Roof trial for us during the proceedings. Good morning, Juan. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Doing good. It did not take the jury very long yesterday to come back with the death penalty verdict for Dylann Roof, did it?
It did not. They were back in less than 4 hours, and they came back with a swift verdict and a unanimous verdict for death.
So what were they looking at when they asked to see the video of Clemente Pinckney yesterday?
You know, I'm not sure what it is they were looking for, and I'm not sure that they ever actually saw that, because they came back fairly quickly after they asked about those things. They asked for three things, actually. One, to see the video of Clemente Pinckney, and two, they wanted to know whether or not he would pose a danger while he was in prison, and they wanted an explanation about whether he could be safely housed in the prison.
Right.
So when the judge brought them back in, he said that he couldn't provide any additional information, that they could use their common sense and try to understand those things, but that he would cue up the video for Clemente Pinckney. I'm not sure how that weighed into their decision-making process, but it was one of the things that they asked for.
So we are hearing that this is really kind of several first. This is the first, he's the first person sentenced to death under federal hate crimes charges, right?
That's correct. And like we spoke about before, there have only been three people who have actually been sentenced to death, who've actually been, the death sentence has been carried out in the federal system.
Right.
And the last person to be convicted in a federal case and sentenced to death was the Boston Marathon bomber.
Right. Also, it's the first time that the federal government and the state government have been seeking the death penalty simultaneously. I mean, this is pretty much one that's going to be studied throughout law school for quite a while.
It is, and that's why a lot of what's happening and what's happened throughout the process and what's going to happen at this point is largely unknown. One of the things that we'll have to consider at this point is what's going to happen with the state trial in terms of where Dylann Roof is going to be moved to. The federal death row prison is in Terre Haute, Indiana, but he may need to remain in South Carolina until it's decided what's going to happen with his state trial. Now, his state trial has been put on hold indefinitely at this time, so I imagine that at some point in the near future, some decision's going to have to be made about whether or not they're going to proceed with it or whether or not they're going to do away with it altogether now that a death sentence has been gotten.
Right. Now, we are hearing that he is going to request a new trial.
He is going to have an automatic appeal.
Right.
And he is requesting that he have a new lawyer to help him file that appeal
mm-hmm.
and proceed from this point forward. The judge has indicated that he's not so inclined to grant that, but that he would give Dylan Roof an opportunity to expound on that request today. So we'll see how that goes. And that was one of the shocking things that he said after the verdict was rendered, because, of course, David Bruck and the defense team are very competent, very experienced.
Right.
And he very much tied their hands throughout the process. So that he would ask for new lawyers at this point, it was very surprising.
Now, the judge will officially impose the death sentence today, right?
That is what is expected to happen today. We are scheduled to be in court at 9:30 this morning,
mm-hmm.
and the judge will hear statements from family members of the victims if they choose to speak. I imagine that the judge will also give Dylan Roof an opportunity to speak if he wants, or family members of Dylan Roof, and then render his decision. Some of Dylan Roof's family members have been in court over the last few days. I don't believe they were there yesterday.
Right.
So we'll see how that goes.
So I certainly, when given the opportunity to speak on his own behalf, he hasn't helped himself. I thought his closing statements yesterday to look at the jury saying, I felt like I had to do it. I still feel like I had to do it. I mean, that certainly didn't help him help his case any, did it?
Oh, no. There was an audible gasp when he said that. You know, I fully expected him to say something along the lines of what he said in his opening statement,
because mm-hmm.
That at least didn't hurt him.
Right.
But I felt like once he said what he said in his closing statement, he spoke for about 5 minutes, and that's exactly what he said. I thought for sure he would say, well, you know, I felt like I had to do it at the time, but I didn't. I didn't have to do it,
right.
Leave it at that, but he didn't. And so I felt like once he made that statement, it was hard for the jury to do anything but what they did.
Right. It would be hard to hear. I mean, what remorse has he shown throughout this entire process? None.
None.
So
right. Uh-huh.
We'll find out what the judge says today and his further rulings on whether or not he'll get a new attorney during the appeal. Juan, we appreciate you calling in, and we will talk to you tomorrow.
Great. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Attorney Juan Talley covering the Dylan Roof case. Dylan Roof not helping himself at all yesterday, really throughout this entire process, has not helped himself one single bit. I just, it'll baffle me to watch this this appeal that's going to be happening. It's 18 minutes past 7 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com.
It's Charlie James and the TMA Morning Show. Call Charlie right now at 843-556-1250.
Charlie James and the TMA Morning Show.
Here's more of the TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Good morning. It's 23 minutes past 7 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com on your Wednesday morning. Yeah, it does seem like it should be later on in the week, but it is only Wednesday. High is going to be right around 70 today, which is a heck of a lot better than it was over the past weekend. It was chilly this weekend. Tonight's low around 51. That's nice, too. Tomorrow will be getting up around 73. We're hearing that you could be getting near 80 later on in the week. Near 80 in January. There you go. Well, that'll feel nice. All right. Don't forget, today we are going to be giving away a $25 gift card to Muse Restaurant and Wine Bar, located over on Society Street in Charleston. That's a fantastic little place if you have not been there. And this is all to celebrate Charleston Restaurant Week that's going on. So we'll have that for you a little bit later on this morning. Also coming up in just a few minutes, we're going to be talking about this new report. And why, you know, all we've heard over the past couple of few weeks to a month has been about fake news. Fake news this, fake news that, fake news yada, 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 blah, blah, blah. And now guess what the mainstream media is reporting this morning? Fake news. There's a report out from BuzzFeed that's basically saying that the Russians blackmailed Donald Trump during the campaign. Now, BuzzFeed themselves say that this is unsubstantiated. BuzzFeed themselves say that this is dubious at best. There's no credibility. And even WikiLeaks is saying, listen, the way this thing is written, there's no way that this is an actual report. We'll have that for you coming up after the bottom of the hour. We also got our Post and Courier report coming up at 7:35. And we're going to be talking about Clemson and the Alabama game, as Clemson is your new national champions. It's 25 minutes past 7 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA. Good morning.
Charlie James and the TMA Morning Show.
Interesting concept.
On 1250 WTMA.
Good morning to you. It's 19 minutes until 8 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Well, if you got the Post and Courier yesterday, of course you saw the headlines. Clemson winning the national championship. Let's go to the phones right now and talk with Chris Zeller from the Post and Courier. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
I am doing fantastic. You are stuck in traffic, I hear.
I was stuck in that traffic that y'all just reported on, but I'm clear now.
All right. Sounds good. So, I mean, magical night for Clemson, Dabo Swinney, Deshaun Watson, and you guys did a fantastic job with the commemorative issue. Tell us a little bit about how that came together.
A wonderful sport team who's up there covering everything, and we put a special edition together. Mm-hmm. And we knew that we would have a lot of fans who would want to have the paper, so we printed extra copies, and we have a nice front page poster that we'll have available.
Ah, that's nice. And when can we get this?
Well, you can pick up the extra copies of yesterday's paper at our office,
right,
on King and Columbus. And you can also order the poster online at postingcourier.com/Clemson. And then on Sunday, January 22nd, we'll put together a special issue of a recap of the whole season, including their championship.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
Yeah.
So, I mean, how many folks did you guys have in Tampa covering this game? Or really all year long, how many folks were involved in it?
Everybody was involved,
yeah.
because it really is a team effort. But we did have Gene Sapikoff up there,
right.
Grace Brainer, and Aaron Brenner. And we had a lot of coverage here, and then our design team. But, the Post and Courier prides itself on covering what is important to our readers, and we knew that we needed to send a few folks to make sure that we got everything covered, and we'll continue to do so during the celebration effort.
Absolutely. That's good. It's fantastic. How many editions did you print up, or are you going to print up? Do you know?
We printed a few extra thousand of yesterday's papers. We sold out at most locations, and then we have a limited edition of the commemorative posters of our front page. Which we were really excited that it's been shared on national media.
Nice.
And that, of course, our Sunday edition, what we anticipate, that will be sold out, and that will be January 22nd. But if you are a subscriber, you will be getting all of those. You've got yesterday's paper, and you'll get the 22nd commemorative edition.
All right. So if folks want to really commemorate, they better not drag their feet on this. They need to get this, because it's going to sell out.
Absolutely. They can own a piece of history. The fans have been waiting for this for a long time.
Yeah.
We're all happy at the paper, so y'all check it out.
Absolutely. We appreciate you calling in. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Have a good day.
You too. We'll talk to you soon. Post and Courier special editions coming out celebrating Clemson's win. Coming up, I'm going to tell you how you can get your own piece of history as far as the Clemson Tigers and their 2016 national champions. I tell you what, it was a fantastic year. Deshaun Watson's going pro. Some people, I saw a meme last night. It said, "Congratulations, Deshaun, you're going to Cleveland." Oh, we'll see. All right, it's 15 minutes until 8 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com.
It's live and local talk with Charlie James and the TMA Morning Show. Connect with Charlie James at 843-556-1250 or email charlie@WTMA.com. Now, the TMA Morning Show continues with Charlie James.
CNN, this just came over the wire. This is new. CNN is reporting that the Russians have disgusting and damaging information about Donald Trump. Apparently, the Russian report on Trump contains everything we already know.
All right, so that was Conan O'Brien talking about this fake news report that is being... for people that were so upset a week ago about fake news, for people that were out there going, I really can't listen to fake news. You guys are out there listening to fake news. What's the matter with you listening to fake news? Look at all these fake news websites, blah, blah, blah. So now BuzzFeed, apparently there was this dossier that was leaked. Gosh, I wonder who by, that was given to John McCain. And there was apparently some guy who said he was an operative with MI5 over in London. MI5, we all know, if you watch any British shows, is the Ministry of Intelligence, 5th Division, over in England. And so this guy says he was an operative with MI5, says that Russia has financial documents and other things, and I'm using the big air quotes here, other things on Donald Trump. And this is what BuzzFeed said. Remember, fake news, right? A dossier making explosive but unverified allegations that the Russian government has been cultivating, supporting, and assisting President-elect Donald Trump for years and gained compromising information about him has been circulating among elected officials, intelligence agents, and journalists for weeks. So why would the Russians, let me ask you something, why would the Russians be cultivating, supporting, and assisting Donald Trump for years? Did they, how many is a years? How many years is in a years? Has it been 1 year? Has it been 2 years, 5 years, 4 years, 8 years? What? What is it? Have they come out? Here is what we are going to do with America. We are going to take billionaire Donald Trump and we are going to groom him as the next president of the United States and make him puppet to Kremlin. That is what we are doing. That is our master plan. So you're going to tell me the Russian... All right. Cultivating Donald Trump for years. Yeah, he's had business relationships with Russia. Guess what? If you're a businessman, then this has been going on since, before World War II? That business interest in Russia has been a pretty big thing? I mean, after all, they've got a lot of oil over there. They've got a lot of minerals. They've got a lot of other resources that can be used in business opportunities. So you're telling me that Russia, for years, this has all been a big part of a master plan to get Donald Trump to be the president of the United States. This is like a Mission Impossible movie. It really is. Dun, 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 dun. So. Anyway, unverified, explosive, yet unverified allegations. They're even saying that this thing isn't even written well. It's got misspellings. It's got one company that is listed is called the Alpha Group. They spell it A-L-P-H-A. It's actually A-L-F-A. The report says a settlement outside Moscow is reserved for the residences of top leadership and their close associates. No, it's not reserved for anyone. It's also populated by the very wealthy over there, so it's not reserved for anyone. So BuzzFeed News, and I'm using air quotes again on the news, is publishing the full document so that Americans can make up their own minds about allegations about the president-elect that have circulated at the highest levels of U.S. government. Okay, that's fine. Do that. But you remember back in the day when BuzzFeed published this unverified story about Barack Obama's birth certificate and whether or not he was an American? No, of course you don't. You remember when they posted a big picture of Barack's birth certificate that was obviously tampered with because they called him African American and they didn't even use that term when he was born. You remember that? Remember that when they did that? BuzzFeed. Remember that? That was great. That was good times there. Good times. So, no, of course they didn't do that. Of course they just, and to give it to all people, to John McCain, to give it to all people, they gave it to John McCain. And John McCain, of course, took it straight to James Comey and started circulating this thing around. So who leaked that? So if they gave it to you, John McCain, how'd everybody else get it? That's what I'm asking. I'll ask you a question again. If they gave it to John McCain, and this is a highly sensitive document, how's everybody else have it? How does BuzzFeed have it? So even WikiLeaks is saying, no, this thing is that. The Kremlin has come out and said, no, you're just trying to, and that's it, exactly what they're doing. They're trying to damage Donald Trump's relationships and the United States relationships with Russia. More on this story coming up. It's 7:59 at the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA. Good morning.
It has been the honor of my life to serve you. I won't stop. In fact, I will be right there with you as a citizen for all my remaining days. But for now, whether you are young or whether you're young at heart, I do have one final ask of you as your president. The same thing I asked when you took a chance on me 8 years ago. I'm asking you to believe, not in my ability to bring about change, but in yours. Yes, we can. Yes, we did. Yes, we can. Thank you. God bless you. May God continue to bless the United States of America. Thank you.
And with that, Barack Obama ended his speech, the farewell address in Chicago last night before an adoring crowd, of course. As you would imagine, the folks that turned out to that speech were part of the adoring crowd. So we'll talk a little bit more about this coming up. But right now, this dossier that is getting all of this this fake news that has come about, we'll have more on that because there's a website that's claiming responsibility for it. So we'll give you that information coming up. Right now, let's go to Brad Franco over on News 2. Good morning, Brad. How are you?
Charlie, I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing good. You were off yesterday. Were you celebrating the Clemson victory?
You know what's funny? So I was going to stay up and watch this thing, right?
Right.
So at about, when we put the kids to bed at like 8:30 or so, I laid down. I was watching the game. I woke up at about 7 o'clock the next morning, and my wife said, I came in there, the TV was on, and you were snoring. The lights were on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I slept in my jeans, T-shirt.
You were out.
Never.
You were out.
It was fantastic.
One of those good night sleep.
Yeah.
There you go.
Great night
Perfect.
Sleep.
But a fantastic game for Clemson, man. I mean,
yeah, how awesome is that?
That was unbelievable. Deshaun Watson having over 400 yards against Alabama was just amazing.
It's awesome, isn't it? And,
yeah.
And rest assured, listen, Clemson fans, rest easy. The Cleveland Browns aren't going to take him.
Right.
Because, you know, my teams don't do things that will help them win.
They'll trade him for two draft picks to be named later.
Yeah, and then they'll screw those up.
Yeah, so, right.
So, yeah.
Perfect. All right, Dylan Roof, the death penalty yesterday, the jury taking very little time, really, as you would imagine, with this. Dylan Roof not helping himself at all during this trial.
No. He said, I still feel like I had to do it.
Yeah.
Well, it's like, that'll endear you to a jury, won't it?
Right. That'll tug at their heartstrings,
believe. But then he says he wants to have another trial.
This is what I don't understand. And do what? What is he going to do differently than what he did in the first trial?
I don't know. He just didn't like those attorneys. Well,
right.
Bottom line is the next attorneys are going to try and do the same thing.
Yeah.
And they're going to ask him for a psychological evaluation. They're going to want all that done, and he doesn't want that done because that's a Jewish science or whatever his
right. Yeah, psychology
explanation was. Yeah.
It's a Jewish science, and he doesn't want to do that.
Correct.
So, unbelievable, this guy. Unbelievable. Yeah. So today he's going to be officially sentenced to death with
Correct.
Judge Gergel.
Well, the door, the option is always there for the judge to say no.
Right.
But I don't see that happening. I mean,
I doubt he would go against the, because there were a lot of charges that were, you know, all of these counts, and it was unanimous on every single one of them. It would be pretty much unprecedented for him to go against the wishes of the jury on this. Now, I didn't realize this. This is the first person federally sentenced to death on hate crimes charges.
Right. And the numbers, we were trying to get numbers on, because it was said that, you know, the feds don't have a tremendous record when it comes to actually executing people,
despite
being handed down the death penalty. And there, you know, a lot of people don't get the death penalty, period, it seems like. The South, as a group of states, largely, I mean, it happens.
Right.
You're convicted and put on death row, you're going to die.
Mm-hmm.
So barring any, you know, new evidence that comes in, overturn it. And that's where all that, you know, whether the state trial is actually going to happen and then the indefinite delay. I have a feeling Scarlett Wilson, she didn't seem thrilled with the prospects of delaying it indefinitely.
Right.
So I you got to figure that as soon as she's done with the Slager retrial, that that would be top priority,
right,
to get that trial heard.
Absolutely.
Maybe before. I don't
yeah, I was looking at looking at some statistics. Since 1927, there have been 37 executions on the federal level, the last being back in 2003.
Yeah, and the South has, like, I don't remember what the numbers were that we read this morning, but it was a lot more.
Right, yeah.
A lot more.
Texas leading the way with 11 total. So, all right, well, we will find out. Again, I mean, Scarlett Wilson's got that decision to make when she's going to actually start the state trial against Dylann Roof. Is the state quicker or, I don't know, more
likely to
execute
him?
Right.
It seems like it when you look at the stats.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens with that. But certainly nothing we really want to live through again.
No, and I'm sure the families don't. But
yeah,
they want justice done as quickly as possible.
Right.
And, you know, the federal appeals process, and I'm sure we'll have to talk to a legal expert. I don't know how many appeals you get at the federal level versus the state level. There's a lot of things that we have to flush out as far as this is concerned. So we'll be working on that for you today.
Yeah, we're talking with Attorney Juan Talley this morning. They're going to be studying this case in law school for a long time.
Yeah,
so
they should. I mean, it's just been unbelievable.
It really has. The fact that he...
For something that, when you, on the surface, look at it, this is open, shut, done.
Yeah.
There were so many things that went on, and I think a lot of that had to do with David Brooke.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this guy makes his living trying to keep people off of death row.
Right.
And he tries every avenue possible. And unfortunately for Dylann Roof, he took that power away from him because he could have maybe possibly saved his life.
Absolutely. But it seemed like he chose not to, especially with those closing statements yesterday. Again, not endearing himself to anybody. No. All right, Brad, buddy, appreciate it. We will talk to you tomorrow.
All right, man.
Thank you. Brad Franco from News 2 on with us this morning. It's 19 minutes past 8 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. It's 25 minutes past 8 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. You're going to be seeing it all over the place today. They're running it every 5 minutes over on the Today Show with Matt Lauer. And it's all about this report that is circulating. It was given to, basically what happened was, this guy said he worked with MI5 over in England. Said he had this dossier of information that the Russians had on Donald Trump. And it's pretty what we will call, it's financial, and I will call the rest of it pornographic. Okay, we'll go with those two things. Sex and money, basically what it was about. So they're saying that Donald Trump was being blackmailed, groomed, cultured, they say, for the past few years, and they were basically blackmailing Donald Trump. Now, the Kremlin, even BuzzFeed themselves, oh, by the way, this was given to John McCain, who gave it to James Comey, and where everybody else got a hold of it, I have no idea. But it's circulating among a lot of people out there. So BuzzFeed decided they were going to print this whole thing. Now, it's full of misspellings. It's full of, you know, inaccurate information. And the mainstream media is running with it. They're absolutely running with it. So, and this was the same mainstream media that was talking a couple of weeks ago about fake news. Now, BuzzFeed themselves says, hey, this is an unverified, we don't have any inkling that this document is legitimate, but hey, we're going to run with it anyway. So I guess then CNN said, oh, it's a good idea. We're going to run with it too. And then the Today Show said, yep, liking it. We're going to run with it too. So they're all running with this unverified information. And now we're hearing this morning that there's a website called 4chan. And please, please do me a favor. Never go to 4chan. Never, ever, 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 ever. I'll take care of that for you. But they're coming up. There is apparently somebody on 4chan saying that, hey, you know what? I did this. This was all me. It was part of what they call, fan fiction. It was part of fan fiction on the part of a subscriber to 4chan. So I think that's very interesting. Let's go to Jerome and talk to him. Good morning, Jerome. How are you?
Hey, Donald Trump's doing a press conference today. All I can say is Alec Baldwin, take notes. Because this is going to be hilarious.
Well, we'll see.
Laugh out loud funny.
All right. Would it be funnier than Obama's farewell speech last night?
Hey, President Obama's a hell of a lot nicer person than Donald Trump will ever be in his whole life, and a lot more conservative. Because he's been married to the same woman for 25
years. Wait. A lot more conservative?
That's right. He's been married to the same woman for 25 years.
Okay.
How can Donald Trump be a conservative? He's been married three times.
Well, I don't really know of anything on the conservative platform that says you got to be married to one woman for the rest of your life.
How many times you've been married, Charlie?
Two times.
Oh, no wonder you like him. Hey,
all right, Jerome. Yeah, me and, I don't know, 55% of Americans who have who are on their at least second marriage. It's 29 minutes past 8 o'clock. Unbelievable. On the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA. Good morning. Good morning. It's about 12 minutes until 9 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Wednesday of the week. It seems like it should be at least Thursday. At least Thursday. High is going to be near 70 today. Partly cloudy skies, although it's quite clear out there right now. Tonight's going to get down to 51. Tomorrow, 73 for a high. Could be reaching up near 80 coming up by the weekend. So that's pretty darn good news, right? All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. So I don't know if you guys follow this, and I'll use the term loosely, gentleman Rick Wilson on Twitter, but here's what he says. He's a GOP media guy, a dad, a pilot, a hunter, writer. I make ads and do politics, enemy of the state. And he is no fan whatsoever of Donald Trump. You can just scroll down some of his writings on Twitter and see that he's no fan of Donald Trump. So there's this website out there called 4chan, and 4chan leaked, and not even leaked, they sent it to the guy. Here's what happened. This one guy, 4chan is really an anonymous type website, you know, because people go in there and post stupid stuff. This one person said, mailed fan fiction to anti-Trump pundit Rick Wilson about Trump making people blank, blank, blank. He thought it was real and gave it to the CIA. So this is basically where this whole thing is coming from, this quote-unquote gentleman, Rick Wilson. And even folks like BuzzFeed, and you're going to hear a lot about this today, and you're already hearing a lot about it, on the Today Show and on CNN. And even BuzzFeed says this thing is, you know, at best, it's unsubstantiated, at very best. So they're going to try to make this thing stick with Donald Trump, and it's not going to happen. It's not going to, just like everything else they've tried. Everything else they've tried, it just does not stick. Fake news. Way to go, mainstream media. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning at 556-1250.
It's Charlie James on 1250 WTMA.
Good morning. It's 6 minutes past 9 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Dylan Roof sentenced to death yesterday. That is the determination of the jury. He's going to be back in court around 9:30 this morning, as we are expecting Judge Richard Gergel to officially sentence Dylan Roof to death. Now, that's the expectation. The judge doesn't have to do this. This is just the recommendation by the jury. It would be pretty unprecedented for a judge to go against the wishes of a jury, since seen as how they were unanimous on everything that they were charged to come up with a decision on. All 33 counts he was convicted of on hate crimes charges. This is the first person in the history of the United States. Dylan Roof will go down in the history books, ladies and gentlemen, as the first person to be given the death sentence for hate crimes in the United States. Very first. There's also several other first in this case that are going to be studied by law students for years to come. First of all, it's the first time a judge has allowed a defendant to be represented by counsel during the guilt phase of the trial and then represent himself during the penalty phase. It is also the first time in U.S. history that the federal government and the state have sought the death penalty on someone. So one for the record books, so to speak. But Dylan Roof got up in the got up yesterday in front of the jury, and I'll tell you what, it was as awful as we have so many things we've been hearing that were, you know, have been so horrible during this trial. He got up in front of the jury yesterday. Now, these are the people that have been charged with deciding whether or not you are going to live or die. Don't you think that a rational person, and remember, rational and competent are two completely different things, but don't you think a rational person would have done something to help their case? Wouldn't you think that? However, Dylan Roof got up and he said, I mean, it was just horrible. He said, I thought it was what I had to do, and I still think it's what I had to do. What a comment while standing there in front of the jury yesterday on this thing. And it was just, really, it was shocking to me when I read his words. Let me just kind of give you a, he said, I think that there, I'm not going to read this whole thing. He said, I think that it's safe to say that no one in their right mind wants to go into a church and kill people. In my confession to the FBI, I told them that I had to do it. But obviously, that's not really true. I didn't have to do it, and no one made me do it. What I meant when I said that was I felt like I had to do it, and I still feel like I had to do it. And throughout this whole trial, you've heard a lot about hate and hatred and how much hate I'm filled with and how vast my hate was. Now, if you read this transcript from the trial yesterday, one thing really sticks out in my mind. This is not a stupid person. This is, I mean, I know a lot of it has been made about Dylan Roof and all of that, but Dylan Roof is an intellectual individual. He's got some intelligence about him. He's not dumb. And just reading this statement that he gave yesterday, you can certainly tell that. So what he was basically saying yesterday is, I didn't have to do it. I didn't have to go into that church and kill those people, but I felt like I had to do it, and I did it. So he says, I'm saying anyone who hates anything in their minds has a good reason to hate. Okay. But I would say that in this case, the prosecution, along with anyone else who hates me, are the ones who have been misled. Now, he goes on to say, you know, stuff about his white supremacist feelings and all that stuff. That's what that has to do with. You know, you guys are filled with hate. You don't understand what I'm doing. I'm trying to do something good here. You don't understand hatred. Ann's in North Charleston. Good morning, Ann. How are you?
Oh, I'm okay. I just have to say that I feel like you're feeding his evil ego.
How's that?
I know the history of what is going to be done, but this is what a lot of his intent was, to make a name for himself. He's done it.
Now, he has done it. He's going to be in the history books. He's going to be in all the law books.
Yes, he will. And I just think you're feeding the devil's ego.
Well, I'm sorry about that, Ann, but if this isn't a safe space here, this is the biggest news story in the country, basically, and it's one we have to talk about. So, sorry if I can't protect you from that. It's 12 minutes past 9 o'clock, but we're going to find out today what Judge Gergel will say. He will officially give the death penalty. This is coming up in about 18 minutes from now. And Dylann Roof is now asking for another trial. And that's one of his recommendations. So my thought was, and we were talking with Brad Franco about this and Juan Talley this morning, why does he want a new trial? He didn't help himself during the original trial. He did nothing to bolster his defense. He gave no real explanation. He showed up in court wearing racist symbols drawn on his tennis shoes, on his sneakers there. And that's, I mean, why the judge allowed him to wear them in court, I don't know. But still, I mean, what different thing can be, what different thing can happen during the next trial if he gets a retrial? And again, of course, he's going to get an appeal, right? Yeah, that's mandatory. Michael's in Charleston. Good morning, Michael. How are you?
Hey, I think with this, I didn't want to mention the guy's name. It's just sick. The least publicity for him personally, the better. But he needs to be the first one, in my opinion, that he goes into a van or some type of vehicle, steps into a burlap sack, and the same gun he used gets turned around on him, and you bring him to a crematorium. It's over one day.
No appeals either.
No appeals at all. There's some crimes that are so heinous, their appeals should be denied by the judge.
No. I mean, you've got to have an appeal in the death penalty. I mean, it's just the way that our legal system works. And remember, we're a country of laws. We're law-abiding citizens. We don't take the law into our own hands. We let the justice system do its job. We let the justice system play out. And he gets an appeal. I would rather him get an appeal than for an innocent man to be sentenced to death because they didn't get an appeal. Okay? 14 minutes past 9 o'clock. West Ashley, Joanne's with us. Good morning, Joanne. How are you?
Good morning. I agree with the lady that called before you. That's like, say the guy down in Florida that killed those people. Don't polarize what he did.
Who's polarizing? Wait. Explain your opinion here.
I don't think you should be talking much about Dylann Roof going to be in the history book. That's what the people who...
Oh, I certainly didn't mean that Dylann Roof was going to be in the history books in a good way.
Well, I don't want to hear it anyway.
Okay. I mean, I understand the feeling out there, Joanne.
I say, praise the Lord. The verdict was given. Let me fry. Because he got another person to come face to face with. That's going to be his judgment.
Well, you know what? And I appreciate your sentiments on that, but God's responsible for his soul. The state is going to take care of his body. So, and in no way am I glad. Where do you people get off on the thinking that I'm glorifying Dylann Roof or complimenting Dylann Roof in any way? It's the trial that we're talking about here, not the person Dylann Roof. This guy was a monster. An absolute monster. He was not mentally deficient in any way. And my reason for bringing that up is to say, this isn't a crazy person committing a crime. This isn't some nut running out there with a gun. This is somebody with an agenda. It's somebody with a a chip on his shoulder. It's somebody that has been completely, I'll use the term, brainwashed by this radical ideology that he has. He's not a stupid person. He made a conscious choice to do what he did. And that makes it worse. That makes what he did 100% worse. But you can't bury your head in the sand over something like this. No, not at all. So, but I understand. I understand people are upset over Dylann Roof, but things you got to talk about. It's 16 minutes past 9 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com.
Charlie James and the TMA Morning Show.
Man, you always know just what to say.
On 1250 WTMA.
There's more Charlie James coming up next on WTMA.
High near 70 today. Tonight's low 51, 73 for a high tomorrow. What we got about 51, 52 right now in the low country. So, and two, oh boy, I tell you what, Dabo Swinney is not very happy with a sports commentator. Commentator is a sports talk show host named Colin Coward. I call him Colin Coward because he's a coward. And that's, I don't like him. I don't like a lot of these guys over on the sports. These sports guys, I mean, they get up there and they act like, I mean, they know everything. They're the ones with the inside scoop. They're blah, 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 blah. They're the big, you know, they're the head honcho. And they're always angry. I don't understand what it's a, you know, it's a game. Hey guys, it's a game. Really doesn't matter. So Dabo Swinney called out Colin Coward because Coward called Clemson a fraud. Said Clemson was a fraud. He said Clemson's going to get their ears boxed by whoever they play. Coward said. He said this before the start of the 14 playoff. He said they should have three losses, maybe four. I don't buy into Clemson. That according to Colin Coward. Coward. The coward, Colin Coward. So I love what Dabo Swinney said. He said, ask Alabama if we're a fraud. Ask Ohio State if we're a fraud. Ask Oklahoma if we're a fraud. He said, the only fraud is that guy talking about Coward because he didn't do his homework. So he's also very upset that people have the gall, the unmitigated gall, to call this an upset victory by Clemson. He said, this isn't an upset. The only upset would have been if we had lost the game. So way to go, Colin Coward. He said he's not buying into the whole Clemson thing. I'm not buying into Clemson. Blah, 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 blah. Way to go. Way to go, Colin. Good job there. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. Are you a big fan of Monopoly? You like to? I will honestly say I am not a fan of Monopoly. I am not a fan of that game. It takes too long. It's kind of dull to me, kind of boring. I don't know anybody that really plays by the rules. I don't even know what the actual rules are. So not a big fan, but a lot of people are. It's going to make, listen to this. Hasbro has just announced it's going to be making a bunch of new tokens for the Monopoly game to replace the classic classics like the top hat, the thimble, and the wheelbarrow. I like the top hat. What's the matter with you? I always pick the top hat whenever I'm suckered into playing this game. So there aren't going to be permits. Just going to be a little while. Hold on. I got to sneeze here. I'll let you know when this happens here. All right. Let's see. Right now, they're just appearing in a new edition called Monopoly Token Madness. They created a website where everybody can vote on the tokens that they want to see in the new game. And here are some of the options. You can get a hashtag sign.
Okay.
You can get a TV. A Tyrannosaurus Rex, heck yeah. Put that one on there. An old school cell phone. That would be nice. Sunglasses, a scooter. I think they ought to have a scooter. A roller skate, a record player, and a rubber ducky. Well, those are all fantastic. I would want to be just about every one of those, except for the sunglasses, I think. They're also going to have four different emoji faces. The smiley face, the winking and smiling, the kissy face, that laughing tears face, and you can vote on that at votemonopoly.com in case you are wondering. I wonder if in the new Monopoly game, if they're going to have a basket of deplorables there That would be nice. And send a copy of that game over to Hillary Rodham Clinton. You can find her in New York. And by the way, there is a group out there that is trying to draft Hillary Clinton into running for the mayor of New York City. Yeah, they're trying to talk her into it. Some people on her team, some insiders are saying, well, you know, she's just going away. Oh, please let it be. Please let that be so. Please let that be so. But there's another group out there that wants Hillary to, you know, the clingers, we'll call them the bitter clingers, because that's what, you know, Obama called you. The bitter clingers out there for Hillary want her to run for the mayor of New York. And there's that. So I don't think, how do you think she would do? What do you think her opponent would do to her? What do you think they would have to say about Hillary Clinton running for New York? What would the ammunition, this with a woman can't even beat Donald Trump. And you want her to be the mayor of this great city? I don't think so. I don't think so. Wouldn't you love to see Giuliani's comments about Hillary Clinton potentially being the mayor of New York? Wouldn't you just love that? That would be fantastic. By the way, the countdown now, 8 days, 14 hours, 32 minutes, and we'll make it 31 minutes as of right now. How about that? 8 days, 14 hours, 31 minutes until Barack Obama is no longer in office. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. Let's go to Richard in North Charleston. Richard, real quick, how are you?
Charlie.
What's up?
Oh, come on. I grew up playing Monopoly. I'm disappointed in you.
Did you play it by the rules?
Yes, we did. We were fanatic.
Are you really?
My older brother.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord, but you're right. It takes all day to play.
It does. It takes forever for everybody to go bankrupt.
Takes forever.
So, how long? What do you think the average playing time for Monopoly is?
Oh, I don't know, boy. We be there all day long, 5 hours. We get up in the morning and it's dinner time and we still play.
That's amazing. I'm trying to Google it right now, Richard. I appreciate you calling in.
Look,
yeah.
Charlie.
Yeah.
What's up with Cory Booker? I looked at the session hearings all day. I looked
right
at him. He praised Session.
Right.
And
right.
Come out and do that.
But that was before Donald Trump became president. Now, this is the first time. This is also unprecedented what Cory Booker is, because this is the first time a sitting senator is testifying against another sitting senator for a cabinet position. First time that's ever happened.
I'm disappointed.
Yeah. Well, there you go. I mean, that's what you got over there on the left side of the aisle. Richard, I appreciate you calling in. Trying to find out the average time to play Monopoly. Let's see if we can get that coming up. It's the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA. You can always get us online. Don't forget, 1250WTMA.com. Also, you can get our WTMA app and take us anywhere you go. Good morning.
Michael Savage Afternoons. Stimulating talk all day.
WTMA, 1250 Charleston.
It's Charlie James on 1250 WTMA.
25 minutes until 10 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. The confirmation hearings are going to continue in Washington over Jeff Sessions, who is up for Attorney General. And they had some robust, outspoken protesters in there yesterday who absolutely probably didn't really understand what the heck they were talking about. Because it seems like once, oh, and by the way, who was it that did that? Was it Holy City Center or somebody locally said, the way things are, Attorney General nominee having to defend himself against racism, and the way it was written made it sound like they agreed with the protesters in this case. And why Jeff Sessions has to get up and prove that he's not a racist is beyond me. In fact, one of the senators yesterday asked him in the hearing, they said, have you ever received an award from the KKK? Really? I did. What kind of awards they give out? Sheet of the week? What do they give out? I don't know. So Jeff Sessions having to defend himself against these crazy allegations that he is a racist. And what does this all stem from? Really stems from a case in 1985, where while Jeff Sessions was the attorney general for the state of Alabama, he was prosecuting three black civil rights activists for voter fraud. All right. So these folks, they were ultimately acquitted, but a lot of people, this did not set well, because you can't prosecute civil rights activists. That's just not done. You can't do that. Sorry. We're going to have to throw a penalty flag on you. So, and then when U.S. Senator John Cornyn, who is out of Texas, he was mentioning this case where Sessions prosecuted those folks. He said that that basically the folks that gave testimony that basically led to the hanging of Denmark Vesey, they were African Americans. So there you go. You just mentioned Denmark Vesey. Obviously, you're a racist. So Clyburn, Jim Clyburn, who doesn't get to vote in this anyway, but he's certainly not going to keep quiet about it. He is upset over these allegations about Jeff Sessions and him being possibly the attorney general. It does not matter. It does not matter that Jeff Sessions was responsible for basically bankrupting the Ku Klux Klan in Alabama by issuing a settlement against them of $7 million. It does not matter that he was single-handedly responsible for the desegregation of the schools in Alabama. None of that matters. It doesn't matter that a group of pastors from all over the country came together yesterday on Capitol Hill and said, listen, we know Jeff Sessions. He's not a racist. It doesn't matter that Cory Booker was a friend of Jeff Sessions before, of course, he was appointed by Donald Trump. It doesn't matter that Harry Reid said he knows Jeff Sessions and he's a good guy. That none of that matters. They stick, once they get the game plan, it's done. It is absolutely done. Mount Pleasant, let's talk to Tim. Good morning, Tim. How are you?
Good, man. How you doing?
Good. What's up, buddy?
Well, listen, just through the course of my normal research, I came across the Attorney Registration and Disciplinary Commission of the Supreme Court of Illinois.
Right.
It's a website that lists all of the attorneys in that state, you know, and their license. We have that in South Carolina as well.
Right.
In 2008, Barack Obama surrendered his license in order to escape charges that he lied on his bar application.
Mm.
A voluntary surrender. Hey, you don't just give up a law license for no reason.
Right.
Okay. In 1993, a federal judge gave Michelle Obama the choice to surrender her license or stand trial for insurance fraud.
Mm-hmm.
Don't take my word for it. I'm telling you, it's at the Attorney Registration and Disciplinary Commission of the Supreme Court of Illinois.
Right.
You got to hear this from a no-name in Charleston, South Carolina, on a talk radio station. You don't think the press would be going crazy with that?
Oh, they should have been, but of course they couldn't do that. This was the first African American elected president of the United States and the first African American first lady. How could you possibly say anything negative about them without being branded a racist?
Did you see all that stuff on what was it, about Trump and all the stuff that the Russians had on him? Did you see that?
Yeah, of course. This is unsubstantiated. It came from a website called 4chan. It was leaked to this guy named Rick Wilson. It was leaked to him. He took it to the CIA, and in some way, John McCain got it. And he took it to the FBI, and all of it is just, it's a bunch of bunk.
Did you see it, though? Did you go in there and look at it?
Yeah, oh, yeah, it's pretty gross.
It's pretty stupid looking, the way that letter's written.
Yeah, I mean, it's poorly written. They've got misspellings in there. They give false information, and Tim, I appreciate you calling in. But yet, that story on Donald Trump, front page news this morning, Today Show. A new, unsubstantiated. Now, here's how they come out with this. This is their headline: unsubstantiated claims against Donald Trump. Okay, what is the job of the media? What's the is it the job of the media to report rumors? Now that's what it. Now remember, they were all coming out a couple of days ago, last week, past couple of weeks, talking about fake news and fake news stories and how, oh, Facebook is going to start, you know, censoring fake news stories and you shouldn't. Here's a list of all the fake news sites out there. Had a friend of mine post that. Here's a list of all the fake news sites. It's Breitbart. It's yada, yada, yada. Well, now you can add CNN to the list. You can add this guy, Rick Wilson, to the list. He's a big Trump hater. You can add, BuzzFeed. You can add them to the list. They even admitted that this thing was completely unsubstantiated. They had no proof whatsoever about these allegations, but they were going to print it anyway. But we'll print it anyway. Could you imagine that? I mean, just imagine sitting in that meeting where they're going over what they're going to print as actual news. Yeah, this is completely unsubstantiated, and we have no proof whatsoever that this is accurate or true, and we really don't even know where it came from, but we'll print it anyway. Yeah, there you go. This is the same people that wouldn't touch the birth certificate story, the birther movement, which was, by the way, started by Hillary Clinton. Donald Trump was right about that. They wouldn't touch that whatsoever on their website. So, very interesting. And, of course, it's going to be the number one story all day long. All day long. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. 16 minutes until 10 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA. Good morning.
It's the great American pastime. Complaining. And where would talk radio be without it? Get it off your chest by calling Charlie James now. 843-556-1250. This is the TMA Morning Show with Charlie James. Now, the TMA Morning Show continues with Charlie James.
That's what Alabama's got. Cat scratch fever. Caught it from Clemson. Yeah, I bet they're seeing a lot of folks at the infirmary this morning and yesterday morning as Clemson defeating Alabama for the national championship. Do you remember the clock boy, Ahmed Muhammad? He was the kid who basically became a news story when he took a clock from Radio Shack and I guess his dad's toolkit. My dad's got an awesome set of tools. So he undoes this clock and reassembles it in a suitcase. It's kind of one of those crash cases, you know, the silver and the black and all that stuff. And, it's got the foam padding inside. And he reassembles this clock inside the suitcase. And then he takes it to school. All right. So while he had it in school, there was a teacher who saw a clock, a timing mechanism inside of a suitcase, which if you are any fan of any spy thriller, you know that looks like a bomb, right? You know that looks like a bomb. So they came and they put the kid in the handcuffs and they shipped him off and they called his parents. And then we find out he just says it was a science project, although there was no official science project going on at the time. And then he said they were going to move to Yemen and the family moved to Yemen. And this all happened in Texas. And then they decided they didn't like it in Yemen. So they're going to move back to the United States. And now they decided they were going to sue the state of Texas. Going to sue the state of Texas. All right. Now, we're not talking about a small amount of money. We're talking about a substantial sum of money that Ahmed Muhammad. Oh, and then remember when President Barack Obama tweeted out, "Hey, cool clock, Ahmed. Want to bring it to the White House?" Yuck, yuck, yuck. And my first thought with that was, oh, okay, yeah. You try to go on a White House tour with a timing mechanism inside of a briefcase. Just give that a shot. See how that works out for you. See if you're not very soon being visited by a man with rubber gloves. See how, and see if you don't get extremely uncomfortable in the moments following that. So, and it was all because, you know, they're saying that he was targeted because he was Islamic. I'm saying he was protected because he was Islamic. He was protected. Now, let's imagine anybody else showing up with something that looks like a bomb in a school and this happening. Let's imagine that. And imagine what would have happened to those kids. I don't think they would have been invited to the White House. I don't think so. What if a kid had taken, they got maybe his dad's old shotgun or something like that. And it's just, you know, he's just got the, just pieces of it. It doesn't work or anything like that. But they put a clock in the shotgun. Could you imagine what would have happened then? Expelled, hell, he'd have been thrown in jail. So anyway, district court judge in Texas has dismissed a defamation lawsuit filed by Ahmed Mohammed on his own behalf and on behalf of Ahmed's the dad, on behalf of his own 15-year-old son, Ahmed Mohammed. They had sued Fox News, several other major organizations, the mayor of Irving, Texas, for defamation back in September of 2016. And the judge just threw that court case out. Good. Good for the judge. The motion to dismiss was filed by lawyers for the American Freedom Law Center, the AFLC, and local counsel Pete Rowe on behalf of the Center for Security Policy. And the judge agreed with them. No case there. No defamation there. Kid shows up with something looks like a bomb. Gets to go to the White House. You know, why not bring that over to the White House? Hey, cool. Cool clock, Ahmed. Want to bring it to the White House? Tried to sneak that past Secret Service. See what happens. All right, what else is going on out there? Oh, let's see. They say Donald Trump is absolutely furious. This could be a press conference for the ages today. He is absolutely livid over this fake news story that is coming from BuzzFeed. We don't know actually where it's coming from, but they say Donald Trump's absolutely furious. It's about his ties and his dealings with Russia and other things, and I'll do other things in air quotes here because it's kind of raunchy. They say they've got financial, and I'll paraphrase this, they've got financial misappropriation and sexual misappropriation that Donald Trump has committed, or they say they have. So I suspect we might have a really good press conference today from Donald Trump. That will be easy to see. Of course, one of the folks leading this is John McCain, the demented one from Arizona, Trump's nemesis. He's the one that kicked off this Kremlin memo scandal, which I'm not even going to tell what some people are calling it. He's the guy that's starting it. It's going to be interesting to see. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. I told you a few minutes ago about Jeff Sessions and his confirmation hearings. Senator Richard Blumenthal asked Attorney General Designate Jeff Sessions yesterday whether or not he's ever received an award from the Ku Klux Klan. Yeah, he started the questioning by bringing up awards that Session has received from the David Horowitz Freedom Center, Frank Gaffney Center for Security Policy, the Federation for American Immigration Reform, the latter of which Blumenthal noted as a classified hate group by the Southern Poverty Law Center. Okay, well, that means absolutely nothing. So he says, given that you do not disclose a number of those awards, are there any other awards from groups that have similar kinds of ideological negative views of immigrants or African-Americans or Muslims or others, including awards that you may have seen have received from the Ku Klux Klan? Now, this is Blumenthal, Democrat from Connecticut. Now, not only is he a Democrat, he's a Connecticut Democrat. That's a special kind of leftist up there. I mean, those folks, as rich and wealthy, I mean, it's ironic that Connecticut is one of the most wealthy states that we have, along with New Hampshire. It's amazing how many socialists live in that state. I thought socialists want to work for the state. I thought that, but no, they're all making huge salaries out there. Go visit some of those homes in Connecticut. Go ahead. Take a look at those big giant brownstones they live in up there. The gated communities that they have. Oh, and by the way, Obama's got a rental property in D.C. He's putting a gate up. He's building a wall. Obama is building a wall before Donald Trump. Way to go, Obama. Anyway, what kind of, this is how nasty they are. Nasty, nasty, nasty folks. He's bringing up all these awards and just assumes that they have been given an award from the KKK. Just assumes. That would be like asking, that'd be like asking Jim Clyburn. Mr. Clyburn, you've received various awards throughout your years as a representative of the state of South Carolina. One of those awards maybe ever been from ISIS or the Islamic State in any way? Have you ever received an award from one of those people? Man, I tell you what, the media would have blown up. The internet, you'd have just been sitting here watching the internet and it would just started smoking from everybody complaining about that. But Democrats are allowed to do it. They're allowed to do stuff like that because the media lets them get away with it. Isn't that lovely? Isn't that lovely how the media does? Well, sometimes you just want to take revenge on these people, don't you? But you can't. You can. I mean, you know. But I'm not sure if this study is sending a good message or not. But on the other hand, it does make you feel better about being such a jerk to everybody. A new study found that when you get revenge on someone, it instantly puts you in a better mood. Yeah, that's right. Instantly puts you in a better mood. Who was the one guy who was looking for revenge in that movie?
You've got an overdeveloped sense of vengeance. It's going to get you into trouble someday.
My name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die.
Yes.
Stop saying that!
Inigo Montoya from The Princess Bride, the king of revenge. New study found that revenge on someone puts you in a better mood. In fact, it's one of the best methods to switch from a bad mood to a good one. And just to make it worse, the researchers found out that you don't even need to get revenge on the person who wronged you to feel better. How about that? Take out your aggression and anger on someone else. It still makes you feel happier. Don't do that. Just maybe buy yourself a punching bag or something. All right, what else we got going on? All right, we're going to get out of here. Just got a few seconds left in the program. Don't forget, we've got more gift certificates to give away coming up tomorrow morning. For Charleston Restaurant Week, this will be $25 gift certificates, and you could take one home with you tomorrow morning. That'll be fantastic. Lots of other stuff coming up. We'll keep an eye on the Dylan Roof trial, which is going on right now in the courthouse here in Charleston. More updates coming up tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye, y'all.
Charlie James in the morning. Stimulating talk all day.
WTMA.